So the first way to attack this problem is, do we want the public knowing magic secrets? And that one I'm of two minds about. I think if there is someone who wants to learn a magic secret and takes, I would say, almost any amount of effort to learn a secret, then it's hard for me to distinguish what makes that person different than a potential magician, right? At all points, magicians were a part of the public. They saw something that was amazing and they thought, I would love to do that. I would love to learn more. When I was a kid, I was not of the TikTok generation. So I had to go to the public library and I looked it up in the Dewey Decimal System and I got magic books and I learned secrets, but it cost me zero money. It just cost me begging my mom to take me to the library and actually reading the book. But I think the important step is making the choice to want to investigate the topic and learn the secrets. The problem with the TikTok algorithm is that it's generating this content in a viral way, and it's giving those secrets to people who didn't necessarily seek them out. There's a famous quote in magic, I forget who to attribute this to, but they say, magicians guard an empty vault. And as a magician for 25 years, I fully believe that. The secrets are just tools that we have at our disposal to create that sense of wonder for people and to entertain people. I would say it does depend a little bit on the type of magician you are for how it actually affects you in the real world. I think the people who watch those TikTok videos and who do know a couple of card tricks that they learned from YouTube, those are the people I find after the show that seem to enjoy my show and sometimes the best, because they know just enough to have one foot in the door. And then when they see it executed at what I'll call a professional level instead of like a YouTube tutorial level, they have a fond appreciation for it. And I sort of liken it to my understanding of movies or a stand-up comedian. Everyone knows a knock-knock joke, but you can still go to the comedy club and it's not the same thing. So that's where it's hard, is drawing that line. The problem I have with the exposure videos in practice is sort of the same thing we're fighting with AI right now of who owns these ideas. You know, I have had many of my tricks exposed on YouTube that I spent sometimes years crafting and creating. And then some, you know, teenage kid can put up a video that explains the whole thing. And the real answer is, anybody who really wanted to learn my secret, and they sent me an email and they say, hey, I don't have money for your book. I just want to learn magic, or I've been practicing this trick. Do you think I could learn the one that you created? I love that connection with people so much. It's not a monetary thing. It's just an idea thing of there is intellectual property involved. I don't know that there's a way to litigate these things. I think in the same way stand-up comedians do it, if you come up with a bit, there's nothing that stops someone from stealing your jokes and your premise. But I think as a community, we can police that. I think that's probably as best we can do. So I don't spend a lot of time thinking about exposure, but those are sort of my thoughts.
Those are all excellent points, especially the intellectual property point, because you are a magic creator.
Yes.
You create. Is there another phrase besides magic tricks? What's the word I should be using?
I like the word tricks. I'm a little less like some people get really wound up about that, about like it's an illusion or it's, and tricks seems to degrade it. I want it to be like kind of open to everybody. So to me, they are tricks. I also want to make sure that people know that these are tricks, that when they walk home, I'm not really reading their mind, even though I'm giving them like perfect evidence that it looks like I am reading their mind. I don't want to have people leaving my show believing things that aren't true. I want them to engage. You know, they talk about that suspend your disbelief. Yes. I actually don't want that. I want you to bring all of your disbelief. I want you to look at every trick and I want you to try to figure it out. Don't mess up the show. Like, don't come up and like open my case and, you know, do something like that to disrupt.
Right.
But like, to me, that's the fun of magic. The fun of magic is the delta, the difference between knowing something cannot be done and then seeing something impossible right in front of your eyes. And that empty space, people have no place to put that. They can't just wave it away and say, this is technology. They can't just say it's sleight of hand. They go, he never touched the deck. He never wrote anything down. How did that happen? And the grappling with that is the thing I love most about magic, So I want people to bring that experience and be a skeptic and talk to me after the show. And if you guess a trick, that's my favorite conversation of every night. Every time somebody says, I love your show, I say, what was your favorite trick? And what do you think you figured out? And I get very interesting answers to that last question that affect the next time I go on stage, because some people have guesses that are wrong, but I go, oh, wow, that would be a way of doing that. And I have to figure out as a magician, how do I close that door for the next audience so they don't think that that was what I was actually doing? And I think that dance is the fun part of magic.
The psychology of that is so interesting to me. The I don't know how he did that delta.
Yeah.
Is that where you want the audience to live?
I think so. I think magic is such a great connector of people. And one of the things it helps connect us is it helps connect with the wider humanity. If we walk around feeling like these really smart apes that have got everything figured out, we've got our AI, we've got our, you know, social media, we know how to manipulate things, we're driving around in cars, we're flying on planes. And then you see a simple card trick and your world crumbles a bit and you just go, wait a minute, I have multiple degrees. I'm a smart person. I'm a billionaire, whatever. And you look down and you're like, but I don't understand. How did that work? And I just think it's humbling. And I think also the skeptic in me, and I mean, now I mean skeptic in a, like a scientific and a religious sense and like a larger worldview sense. You know, I like that, that we just kind of push people and just, it's a nice way to knock us off our own pedestals sometime. Or like, maybe we don't know everything. And as sure as you felt that that deck was shuffled, you probably felt that about some political opinion you had last week. And magic just goes, you know what? Maybe you don't know everything and everything isn't as it appears and you can be manipulated. And I think that's healthy for people.
So there has also, of course, been a rise since COVID in doing virtual magic, distance magic. What is the difference between doing that and doing it with an audience? Do you have a preference?
I definitely prefer with an audience because I like that human connection. Yeah, I think there's just something more entertaining about seeing it live. It's just, I think the proximity, especially close-up magic, where, you know, I tell people all the time, the magic happens in your hand. I borrowed your wedding ring and the magic happened in your hand. There's like no other thing in life that gives you that same feeling. You go to a comedy show, it's amazing, but you're sort of a part of the audience as a unit. And then in a magic show, it's like, it's your hand, man. It's it's up close and personal. I just love that connection with people. So I much prefer the live magic.
If somebody is brand spanking new to the wonder of performing magic and they want to try to get into it, what advice would you have?
Yeah, I would say try to find a community of magicians. You are going to accelerate your learning so quickly. It doesn't matter what that community, I mean, there's online communities, there's Facebook groups, that's a great way. But actually being in the presence of other people who have a shared interest, I think that that is like the real magic of life and seeing how they interpret the same trick that you read. Also seeing them do the trick. I'm very much a just do the trick, man. Like we can talk about it all day long, just do the trick. And if it fails, the world is literally not different. Like your family still loves you. there's just nothing that's going to change over this magic trick failing. So just do it. And I think the difference between just getting something started and it not existing is so huge that no amount of like talking about it is going to make a change. So I would just try to find that community. You're going to learn really quickly things you like. And also seeing people do things that you don't like. I have best friends in magic who I trust them so much and I hate part of their show. And they would say the same thing about me. And it doesn't affect the relationship because it's just, we're just making a thing and it's a different flavor of ice cream. So I don't like mint. I don't care what. what you mix with it. I don't want mint chocolate chip. I don't want mint anything. Doesn't mean mint is bad. I think that's the way to approach it, is just think about it's outside of you. You're just trying to get stuff out in the world. And also, just focus on the process that you like. Don't think, oh, well, the rule says this, so I have to do this. It's supposed to be a fun, artistic thing. So just doing it is the point.
There's a lot of good life advice in there.
Yeah.